morning. You can take your seat if you haven't already. Great to see so many of you. Are you laughing at that picture of, okay. Got two of the guys laughing at the front here. I'm like, what? Have I got a malfunction? It wouldn't be the first time. So good to see you all in person and online. It's great to be with you today. I have the privilege of continuing speaking to you if you've been with us the last week or two about Kingdom Come. And just to give you an explanation, perhaps if you're not a person of faith, or if you're here for the first time, or you've not been while we've been talking about this, this is from the Lord's Prayer. Jesus prayed with his disciples, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And what he was talking about is the perfection of heaven touching earth. Because, you know, we live, don't we, in a broken world. Not everything is okay. We experience pain, drama, difficulty, and we, as humans, were not perfect. But, you know, the amazing thing is in Jesus' prayer, he prayed, let some of earth come down to heaven. Let it be here. And so we're talking about that, and we're talking about the values of this church community. I'm looking around even now. I know quite a few faces. I would say these days I know less than I have ever known. That is a great thing for me. It's amazing to see such an eclectic mix of people. Many that I say I've been around here a long time, many I don't know. And so welcome to you. But also just to say, you may have been a part of a church community before, you may not. Churches are different, right? They are different. And I'm not just talking about style or like I like, you know, that guy that was playing the guitar, or I like that person who speaks, or the coffee's really good here. I'm not just talking about style or preference, but at its very core, churches are built around a set of values. And, you know, the best things are built around values. So even if you think about maybe if you're in a relationship or a business partner or somebody that you work closely with, those best unions are built on shared values. The kind of challenge is when those values aren't shared is when things come to a head or when a difficult decision needs to be made, either people go their separate ways or it's a struggle. It's a kind of battle of the wills between those two people in the relationship or in that. And so as a church, yeah, we just wanted to share with you what is at the core of this church community. For some of you, you will know this, and yes, we value many things, but I have the privilege today of speaking to you about something that is I'm basically so excited to speak to you about it. I'm going to speak to you about generosity. Because, you know, this isn't just a good idea that somebody had once. Like, at the core of this church community, TCC, we value generosity. And I'm going to tell you some stories about that, but really, I want to tell you why. Do you know, I really believe our response as people of faith to God's generous love is generosity, okay? When we know God, when we meet him, when we walk with him, when we experience his bounty, his provision, his love, his grace and his mercy, the response to that is one of generosity. It changes you. This is what I've realized in my life is when I've come to know God for myself and I've known him, I've known his forgiveness towards me, his mercy, my appropriate response to that is a life that just goes like that. And I want to say, you know, generosity, I'm not just speaking about finance, but I include that. I include everything in our lives. And I want to speak to you of what I believe is, I guess Ben kind of touched on it actually. In fact, he did. He read John 3. That's what I'm going to read now. It's about God's ultimate act of generosity was sending Jesus. It's the most generous act there has ever been, and it's the most generous act there ever will be. And if you have ever read through the Bible, if you've even read a part of Scripture, you will see that every word, every deed, in the motif of every story is generosity. That is why, as a community, we value it so much, because we believe it reflects the nature of God. And naturally, when we come to know God, and for those of us that do know him and walk with him, we become generous. Our lives become open. Why? Because it's the natural response to God. And so I'm going to read to you just what Ben read before. I'm going to read from John 3, chapter 16. And this is what it says. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son. He gave his one and only son. So that everyone who believes in him will not perish or will not die, but will have eternal life. God sent his son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. When you experience this kind of generosity, it changes you indelibly. It does something to you. Even, you know, I'm nearly 33, so, you know, I've met a few people in my time. I've known people who've known this love and for whatever reason have made their own choices in life and kind of wandered and done their own thing. They still cannot deny the goodness of God, the generosity and the kindness of God, because it changes you. It does something to you, to people maybe who were once a bit fearful or stingy or tried to keep hold of everything. I've seen it literally change people, because that's what God's goodness does. And you know, the thing is, generosity, and you'll hopefully see this exemplified in this community, it is not dependent on a season of life or a circumstance in life. And what do I mean that by that? Simply is, this is not about what you feel you have at present and what you don't have. Generosity is a spirit, right? So whatever you have, whatever that is, whether it's your gift, your time, your talent, the food that's in your fridge, your friendship, in every season, when you value generosity, that kind of seeps out of you. Now, you may be in a season where, like, you're lacking in some of that. Perhaps you're in more of a difficult time or working through a difficult time. Let me tell you something. What I've seen in the lives of generous people is this kind of leaks out of them. And I've seen this in this church community. It leaks out of them in every season. Why? Because it's a value. It's not just a behavioral modification or something they decided to do once because somebody on a stage said, hey, you should be more generous. No, it's a response to the goodness of God in their life. And yes, as much as it's a choice to stay open, I've seen people give and serve and love one another, very often behind the scenes, not on a stage. I've seen it across this church community time and time and time again. When I've also known those people have been struggling personally, they've probably felt they've not got a lot to give. I've seen it time and time again. And to me, it's been just the exemplification of God's generosity. Not something that they've had to muster up, but something that they've allowed just to flow through them. And so I guess you may be wondering, well, you know, if you're defining generosity like this, can people who are not of faith be generous? Well, yeah, of course they can. We see all the time, like, philanthropy and kind acts and love towards humanity from people of all kinds of backgrounds, all kinds of worldviews. But what I'm talking about today is not something that you have to muster up. This is the difference between being a source and a channel. And let me explain it. God is the source of generosity. He is the source. He defines what generosity is. The difference is, like, when we come to know him, if we will allow him to, he will use us as a channel. The difference is if we are trying to, like, muster up all our best, like, kindness and humanity and all that kind of thing. And I have to watch, I don't go on a rant about this, because I see all the time, like, slogans saying, be kind, be generous. I'm like, that's good when your life is going great. When everything's good and things feel aligned for you, it's good to be kind to others. But, you know, for a generation that says that, we are the most intolerant generation probably for a long time. We struggle to understand people who don't think like us. We want to. We try our best. But we're so intolerant. The thing is, when God is the source of the generosity, he can use us as a channel. When you try and be a source of that generosity, you're basically saying, this depends on me. This depends on how much I have, or how much patience I have, or how my ability is to forgive people, or to keep going again with people, and to give my kindness to them. When we rely on God's generosity, we become a channel for him that is the source. And there's a difference between the two. And so does kindness and worldly generosity, does it do us any harm? No, but what I'm saying is it's limited. And when we value generosity, we can be a channel. We're not trying to be the source for everything, like, come to me and I'll be kind to you. I'll be benevolent to you. No, you're simply going, God has changed me. He's changed my life, and I'm going to be a channel for those things. Everything that he's given me, I'm going to live like this. I'm going to choose to be a channel. And so I want to read to you quickly a scripture from Proverbs 11, because this just blows my mind. Like, so often when I think about the way scripture describes things and the way things are in life, I'm like, wow, these two things really line up, but they shouldn't. When I read it to you, you'll know what I mean. Sometimes, and if you, again, if you've read the Bible before, if you've read any part of scripture, you read something and think, how can that be true? But it's weird, but I've seen it be true so many times. And so you'll know what I mean when I read this. So the writer of Proverbs says this, one person gives freely, yet gains even more. How can that be? The way we're taught is, even mathematically, if we give something away, we then have less. You know, it's like those school, I'm going to show you how bad I am at maths now. It's like those school things that says, like, you know, James has 6 coins, you know, and he gives 1 to Anna. How many coins does James have left? What's the answer, everyone? 5, I think. Well done. Maths is not my strong suit. I'll stick to words. But it's like that, and this is what the writer of Proverbs is basically defying that. He's basically saying, one person gives freely, yet gains more. Okay, I want to read more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. I've seen this be true as well. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Now, if you ask me for a scientific explanation of this, I promise you, I cannot give you one. I don't understand how this works, yet time and time again in this church community, I have seen this be true. People who live with their arms open as a channel for God's generosity, I have seen their world get larger. What do I mean? Do I mean like, oh, there's, you know, there's like dollars pouring, well, dollars are no good to us here anyway. You know, like pound coins, oh, notes, come on. Notes raining down from heaven. No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is every aspect of their life has just become bigger. Their friendships, their opportunities, their refreshment. That's what the writer of Proverbs is speaking about is we think that like when we give things away, we're left, you know, bereft or we're left lacking. But the thing is in God's economy, it just doesn't work like that. And I can't explain to you, I can't give you a mathematical scenario as to why that is, but it's just how it is because we serve a generous God. And in his way of doing things, that's how it works. So, you know, it's funny, a few weeks ago, I was preparing to stand up here and teach, and I mean, this is pretty standard. My kids have been up all night. This happens to me every week, by the way, but it was just, I was feeling more sensitive on this particular morning. And someone behind stage was like, yeah, I'll just pray with you. I was like, I'm just so tired. Like, I've done everything I can, but I'm tired, I'm emotional, I'm like all of those things, and I've got to try and hold it together now. And she said to me, you know what, Rich, when you get up there and you teach, like, okay, physically you might feel a bit tired, and you're trying to think and you're trying to concentrate, but you know it's true that, like, when you get down, you'll feel energized and you'll feel refreshed. I was like, that is so true. Now, to me, that is just exemplifying that. But I could tell you a million examples of where I've thought, right, I'm tired, I've got a lot going on in life. The last thing I need to do right now is like talk to that person or do something for someone else. But the fact is, when I have done those things, the opposite has been true. Always, the opposite has been true. I've been refreshed, I've gained more, if that makes sense. And the opposite is also true, that when we try to withhold and when we try to keep hold of things, we actually somehow lose out. We somehow lose out on the joy of life, on the beauty of life, on the joy of giving. Ben was speaking before about the joy of giving. You know, there is freedom in generosity. This is what I've realized. When you accept, or maybe when you see for the first time, God's generosity to you as an individual, it does change you. It helps you to feel free, like, oh, I don't have to keep hold of everything. This thing that he's given to me, I can share it. Like, he wants to use it. I want to be a channel. I'm not doing this because somebody's asked me to. I actually want to. It's completely free, and I've seen this time and time again. I thought it'd be good to just tell you a couple of stories. Just, I mean, I could tell you a million stories, but from this church community, I was trying to think this week of people I could tell you stories about, and I thought of so many, but I just wanted to tell you a couple of simple ones. Before I do that, just to say, some of you have been part of this church here and online for a long, long time, and so I hope what I'm saying rings true to you, that there's an element of truth that you can see that this is real, what I'm speaking about. You know, this is not just something we've got written on a wall, or it's not just something we're trying to be, but we actually value being generous, and it begins with us. It's not just a nice idea. It's not a project once a year. It's like, this is God's expression of love through us. And so I hope you can see that. But you know, for those who are newer and who maybe you've just been coming a few weeks, maybe you're here for the first time. Even this room we are sat in now, and I've really not got time to go into this, but it doesn't matter, whatever. I'm going to do it anyway. You are sat in an expression of generosity gone before you. Some of you, you've been here long enough to play a part in this. Many of you, you sat here, it's like, wow, you know, I'm not trying to make everything about a building. We know the church is a living, breathing community. We have the privilege of meeting here, but this is not a nothing. Sitting in this room today, it is, and it was the dream and the generosity, not of a grant or a fund, but of people who have gone before, who've gone, do you know what? I want there to be a space in Wigan for the church, but also for the community that makes a statement about the goodness of God, that brings good news to the town where they've never had a venue that they can do anything in, facts. And we're going to partner with the council and we're going to make it happen. Yes, that happened over a long period of time. It was not a linear kind of journey, but even now we sit here and we benefit from the generosity of those gone before us. But I just want to tell you a couple of short, small stories. There is a guy in this church community. I sat next to him this morning. He's called Sam Liu. He's an amazing guy. Him and his now wife, Holly, because they weren't married at the time, were in mine and Dan, my husband's community group for quite a while. And the house we lived in at the time, it had the smallest kitchen known to man. Now, those of you that know me know I'm a foodie. I love to cook. It's the kind of kitchen that when there's two dirty plates on the side, the whole thing just looks like it's in disarray. And every Thursday night, we would meet together. And I just noticed after the first few times we'd met, I'd go into the kitchen because obviously I was just chatting away in the living room to someone. And Sam would literally be stood at the sink washing the dishes. Now, I'm British, okay? So the British reserve in me was like, no, like, please don't do that, Sam. Like, come and sit down. I'll make you a brew. Like, please. But he just absolutely so insisted that eventually I gave up. And every single week, Sam, we didn't have a dishwasher. There was no space for a dishwasher. No space for a dishwasher. He would go in the kitchen and just wash the dishes. I'm getting choked up thinking about it now. I hate cleaning, guys. I absolutely hate it, right? I hate washing up. Or just like whatever. And I never said that to Sam to make him do something for me. He just did it out of the goodness of his heart, out of the generosity of God that he was receiving, he was giving again. Such a small thing, and I say it because I want to show to you, it is in every day that generosity, that spirit, it comes out, it's expressed. It's not once a year at Christmas. And it mattered to me. And it impacted me to the point where I'll tell you that over. I could tell you lots of stories. That's the one I want to tell. Another time, somebody else from this church community, she's called Naomi. Amazing woman. I remember me and Dan were like just about to get married. And for any of people who have been married in this room and had a wedding ceremony, you will know, you know what I mean? We were skint as it was. We were super skint leading up to the wedding. And Dan had been away with work. And it was a Sunday morning and we were chatting and we caught up. And I said to Dan, do you know what? I just want to go for a Sunday roast after this. I don't want to make one. Like, I want to go out for a Sunday dinner. He was like, me too. But, you know, Dan's the sensible one in our relationship. He was like, you know, we've not really got money. So, like, going dropping, like, 20, 30 quid on a carvery right now is not what we're going to do. I was like, yeah. Didn't tell anyone. Anyway, after the gathering, I was just hanging around and chatting. And this lady called Naomi just came to me and said, Rach, I just wanted to give you this 20 quid. And I was like, thank you, Lord. I know what this is for. She was like, I don't know why. I just wanted to bless you. And Dan, I was like, okay, amazing. And you know, I know it is such a simple thing. And maybe to many people in this room, 20 quid's like, well, so what? Do you know what? I know Naomi at the time. She was single. She was going through the process of about to adopt a boy. Like she had a lot going on for herself. But it never stopped. The circumstance did not stop her generosity to me and Dan that day. You know, she just listened to God. She responded to what God was saying. But she lived and lives with open hands and an open life. You know, generosity, it shows itself in so many ways. With nourishing words, with our gift, with our skill, with our finance, with our friendship, with the food that's in our fridge, around our table. It can show itself in so many ways, and I've just told you two small things. But I want to firstly encourage you, if you're a person of faith, God wants you to be a channel for his generosity. The things that sometimes we hold tightly onto because we fear that we might lose them, or sometimes we just think it's not good enough for God to use. This is another thing I realized. Sometimes we just think our bit, our talent, our experience, our story, even our financial gift, it's not enough. So we just go, I'm going to hold on to it because it's kind of not as much as what they can give. Or this dialogue today is between me and you. Not between me and the person sat next to you only. I want you to look at yourself. You know, right now, we'll have a moment to reflect before we pray. And I just wanted to ask you a question. You don't need to answer this, but just a rhetorical question for you to reflect on. What do you have now that you're holding on to more tightly than you need to? What do you have now that you're holding on to more tightly than you need to? Not what are you going to have in 3 years, or what do you hope to possess in 10 years? What do you have now? And you might think, well, it's not much. Another thing I've realized, and this is just the beauty of generosity, and it's because it's God's idea and because it comes from him. When you live open and when you release that bit, the weird thing is that it grows. Again, don't ask me to explain this to you. I can't explain it. It's just in the economy of God, when we release something, it grows. It gathers momentum. It becomes more. You know, if I think in the New Testament, there's a story where Jesus, well, you know, one of my favorite things about Jesus, guys, is he did everything around food and drink, right? And there was a time where he'd been teaching, and there were so many thousands of people, they were starving, they were hungry. And you know, instead of sending them home or saying, just sit there and starve while I carry on speaking to you, he said to his disciples, like, find somebody with food and we're going to feed these people. And they're like, they're making every excuse, but in the end, they bring to Jesus, you know, 5 loaves, 2 fish. And Jesus breaks it, prays over it, he breaks it. And as they begin to give it out, it feeds the entire multitude with food to spare. You know, I'm guessing you guys have heard this story before a million times, some of you. That is just what generosity is like. The young boy, literally, I mean, I can't believe he's the only one who packed his lunch. Savage that he was the only one that did it, but he did. And that little bit that he had that, you know, from a practical perspective, was never going to feed more than 2 people. When he released it, put it into the hands of the master, it became provision that fed thousands. They reckon the 5,000 was just men, plus women and children, with baskets left to spare. That is what God does when we live open, when we live with the value of generosity. I've seen him do it with this church community time and time again, individually. I've seen him use us together. Ben shared this morning about the mental health worker, amazing, that's going to be working in the local schools here. So amazing, we've been able to invest into that. And we've been blessed enough, you know, even in our generosity, to give to that. But there have been times, and I want you guys to know, this is not like a look at us. It's really not. It's like, look at God. God has been so kind to us, and we've wanted to just go like that. God will receive it, but also our hands are open. There have been times where we've not been in this arena, you know, where the finances are a bit thinner on the ground. But because it's our value, we've said we want to invest into things that are not to do with us as well, that don't have our name on it, because we value it, because we want to be generous to our town, because we want to resource other church communities who don't have what we have now. And sometimes we didn't have that much, but we did it as an act of obedience. As an act of saying, God, we're a channel for what you've given us. That's not always been financial. Sometimes that's just been whatever resource we've got, whatever wisdom we've got, whatever expertise we've got. And, you know, I really believe for us that was a start. the journey we're on now, we continue to live generously. And my call to you today, if you're a person of faith, and even if you're not, is when you experience this bounty that God has, don't just try and keep it to yourself. When you see what he has put into your life, even the things he's taken you through, the gifts that he's given to you, the home that he's given to you, use whatever you've got and let God make you a channel for his goodness. For those of you that are not yet of faith, we're going to pray in a sec. I'm going to pray, and we're going to pray together. We're going to pray a prayer together. And really what I would say to you, even more than just being a channel for generosity, is just realizing there is a generous God who is for you. He's towards you. And he knows you, right? He knows what you've done. He knows what you've not done. He knows your shortcomings. But he loves you in spite of those things. And his desire is simply that you would know him, follow him, just kind of submit to him, surrender to him, and receive his generous love. And you know, when you receive that, it completely changes you. It completely changes you. Something happens that can't be forced by behavior modification or by a change in your season. Something happens deep within. And that's the God that many of us in here serve.